Aho, alas, may my paramam extreme kashtam miserable condition abhut became avijita atmana because my senses were uncontrolled jena by which viplavitam destroyed brahma all my brahminical qualifications vrishalyam through a shudrani a maidservant jayata being born atmana by me. Ajamila said, alas, being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became. I fell down from my position as a duly qualified Brahman and begot children in the womb of a prostitute. Please repeat. Ajamila said, alas, being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became. I fell down from my position as a duly qualified Brahmana and begot children in the womb of a prostitute. Purport. The men of the higher classes, the brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas, do not beget children in the wombs of lower class women. Therefore, the custom in Vedic society is to examine the horoscope of a girl and boy being considered for marriage to see whether their combination is suitable. Vedic astrology reveals whether one has been born in the Vipravarna, Kshatriyavarna, Vaishyavarna, or Shudravarna, according to the three qualities of material nature. This must be examined because a marriage between a boy of the Vipravarna and a girl of the Shudravarna is incompatible. Married life would be miserable for both husband and wife. Consequently, a boy should marry a girl of the same category. Of course, this is trigunya, a material calculation according to the Vedas. But if the boy and girl are devotees, there need be no such considerations. A devotee is transcendental. And therefore, in the marriage between devotees, the boy and girl form a very happy combination. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitan Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So Ajamila, by chanting the holy name Narayana at the time of quitting his body, became purified of all past sinful contamination. It is elsewhere explained by Srila Prabhupada that although Ajamila was calling for his son, Narayana, and it was by Krishna's mercy within that when the small boy was born, he had the inspiration, let me call my son Narayana. He could have called him any other name, any ordinary name. But Krishna, being merciful to Ajamila, inspired him from within the heart. Call your son Narayana. In that way, when you become affectionately attached to him, you will always be calling the holy name Narayan, Narayan. So, this is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesh Arjuna Tistati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Jantra Rudhani Mayaya, that I am seated within the hearts of all living entities and I am directing the wanderings of the living entities. Matta Smritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. And from within the heart, I am giving remembrance and forgetfulness also. So, Srila Prabhupada explained that although he was calling affectionately for his son at the time of death, as if his dear son could help him at such a time, Narayan, Narayan, but while chanting Narayan, he remembered his childhood Krishna consciousness. So the Yamadutas came to arrest him due to all of his sinful activities, but the Vishnu Dutas also arrived to rescue him. Because he had become purified by chanting the holy name Narayan. And after hearing the conversation between the Vishnu Dutas and Yamadutas, Ajamila regained his clear or pure consciousness. Just like Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, after hearing from Krishna, Nashta moha smritir labdha tvat prasadan mayachuta. Now my illusion is gone. Nashta moha smritir labdhva. And now I remember my original pure condition that I am your eternal servant. I am simply to execute your order. So in this purified condition, Ajamila is greatly lamenting. Because he remembers the activities of his sinful life. He's greatly lamenting, oh, aho, alas. Of course, now nobody says alas. This is kind of an ancient English word, alas, alas. Now people use very different vulgar kinds of expressions, which I don't want to say here. He's really regretting. I was situated in my youth very nicely in Krishna consciousness as a qualified Brahman. But then somehow or other I fell down from that position and engaged in all kinds of abominable activities. How horrible that was. How abominable. How wretched. How fallen I became. So, Srila Prabhupada has explained that we aspiring devotees, or we devotees, we must also regret our life previous to coming in contact with Krishna consciousness. Everyone in this material world is more or less sinful. The possession of the material body is the symbol of our sinful existence, or the result of our sinful existence. So, more or less, in different varieties, there are so many varieties, before we may have engaged in so many abominable activities, now being situated in Krishna consciousness, when we think of our past life, we should very much lament or regret having engaged in those kind of activities. And that is what Ajamila is doing. Being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became. So, the more we advance in Krishna consciousness, then the more we will see that our previous materialistic activities and materialistic consciousness are very abominable. Those in materialistic life, of course, they don't see any fault in their activities. This is explained in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the divine and demoniac nature. Krishna explains that in this world, dvo bhuta sargo lokesmin daiva asura eva cha. Then he says, I've already explained much about the daivi sampad, or the characteristics of godly persons. Now I'll tell you about the asura sampad, the nature of demons. And what is the first thing? Pravrittim cha, nivrittim cha, janana vidura asuraha, nashocham, nachacha, chara, nasatyam, techu vidyate. They don't know what is to be done and what is to be avoided. There is no cleanliness about them, nor are they truthful. So this is the condition of our present materialistic society. People cannot distinguish between pravritti and nivritti. What should be done and what should be avoided. In fact, it is becoming just the opposite, that what should be avoided they're taking as amrita, as the goal of life. Now the goal of life is to be a follower of the Bollywood actors and actresses, what you see on the screen, that engage in illicit connection while holding a drink of whiskey in your hand. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada, especially in the later years, repeatedly emphasized that varnashram must be introduced within society. Otherwise, it is chaos. It is just a polished animal life. So Ajamila, he had been trained in varnashram as a qualified brahmana in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna again explains that brahmana chatriya visham shudranam cha parantapa karmani pravibhaktani swabhava prabhavair gunai, that there are four classes of persons, brahman, chatriya, vaishya, shudra, and that their activities, karmani, pravibhaktani, must be divided or regulated, swabhava prabhavair gunai, according, this is to be determined according to their swabhav. And that swabhav is according to one's situation under the gunas. Everyone has a swabhav, a nature. So those in the situated primarily in Sattagun, their nature is one way, and they should be trained as qualified brahmanas. And those whose swabhav or personality or nature is very passionate, Rajagun, should be trained as Kshatriyas. And those who have passion but mixed more with ignorance, can be trained as vaishyas, and those who are very much tamogun should just be engaged as shudras. So Ajamila was trained as a qualified Brahmin, and what are those qualifications? Shama, Dhamma, Tapa, Shocham, Chantir, Arjavam, Evacha, Gyanam, Vigyanam, Astikyam, Brahma, Karma, Swabhavajam. The Swabhav of a Brahmin is Shama. He has control of his mind, he is peaceful. Dhamma, he has control of his senses. He's self-controlled, not just running madly here and there. I want this, I want this, where is that? Shamadama tapa, he performs tapa. Regulated, not just unrestricted. And Srila Prabhupada explains the tapa, not like a Hiranyakashipu standing on the tips of his toes, arms over raised for thousands of years. Our tapasya in Kali Yuga is chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. This is our tapasya. So, shamodama tapa shocham, cleanliness, Brahman is very clean. Jnanam vijnana, he is knowledgeable and he practically demonstrates that knowledge in his activities. Astikyam, he has firm faith. Prabhupada explains, astik. One who is an atheist, he's called Gnostic. And astikyam means someone has firm faith that the statements of Shastra, the statements of Bhagavad Gita are absolutely true. Brahma karma svabhavajam. So, here it is said that Ajamila, his fault was that he begot so many children in the womb of a low-class woman, and Srila Prabhupada explains, a Brahmin should be married to a Brahmin girl, a Kshatriya should be married to a Kshatriya girl, Vaishya to a Vaishya girl, Shudra to a Shudra girl, and this is ascertained by astrological calculations. But then at the end, Prabhupada says, of course, this is Trigunya. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nish Trigunya Bhavarjuna. The Vedas mainly deal with Trigunya, the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. But Arjuna, Nish Trigunya, you must situate yourself transcendentally, beyond the three modes of material nature, near dvandva, beyond the influence of dualities, nitya satta stho, always situated in the transcendental position, near yoga chema atmavan, without any worry for yoga chema. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he will supply the yogakshema. Who knows this verse? Yeah. There's not the mobile microphone anymore. Ananyas chinchanto mam yejana parupasate tesham nitya bhyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyam. And what is that yoga? And what is that chema? O assembly of learned men, kindly tell me, what is the yoga? What is the chema? Yoga means whatever is necessary, necessities of life. And chema means protection of those whatever. So, in a lecture, Srila Prabhupada gave an interesting, told an interesting story about this, that Yamunacharya was writing a commentary on Bhagavad Gita, and he came to this verse where Krishna says, those who are ananyas chintyanto mam, those who are always thinking of me, ye jana parupasate, those devotees who are worshipping me and always thinking of me, tesham, for them, nitya bhuktanam, who are always engaged in devotional service, because after all, if you're always engaged, I'm chanting, I'm reading Srimad Bhagavatam, I am performing my deity worship, then where's the money? How can you go to the market to buy your food? Who's going to pay the rent? Krishna says, no, no, no. I will supply. And I will protect his position. No need for the devotee to worry. Krishna says, I will personally come and give everything for the devotee. Yamunacharya was thinking, well, of course, Krishna's not personally going to come. He must be sending some agent, you know, one of the minor demigods. So in this way, he was writing his commentary. Then he went out. His wife was at home, and two boys came while Yamunacharya was out. They were carrying very heavy load. Rice, dal, ghee, and everything. And she is surprised. What is this? Oh, your husband, he's very cruel. He told us, you must carry this very heavy, and he beat us also. So we have come here carrying all of these things for you. Now cook very nicely. So she cooked very nicely, fed the boys, and the boys left. Then Yamunacharya came back. What is this? How all this big feast came here? Then she explained that two boys brought all of this. And he said, my dear husband, Acharya, how you became so cruel? These two boys came carrying so heavy load, and they showed me the mark. One boy showed me the mark on his back. You beat him. How is this? Yamunacharya thought, I never did this. What is this? Then he understood. Oh, I wanted to scratch out the word of Krishna that I personally deliver. This is like scratching or beating on the back of Krishna. He has showed me this. So, here Ajamila is lamenting that, how degraded I was. But in the Bhagavad Gita it says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na sochati na kangshati. Now it is explained, Ajamila has become fully purified by chanting the name of Narayan. And therefore the Vishnu Dutas have come to take him back home, back to Godhead. In the purified condition, then why is he lamenting? Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta, when you are Brahma Bhuta, then na sochati. You don't lament anymore. So, who can explain this? Yes, boss. But why is Ajamila lamenting? That's the question. Why is Ajamila lamenting? Oh, he's lamenting, oh, I was so fallen, I committed so many abominations, I fell down. Why is he lamenting? Na sochati. Well, usually, see, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na sochati means not lamenting, na kangshati, not. Generally, everyone in the material world is two things. kaṅkṣati sochati. I want this. There's a very nice skirt in this shop, very beautiful, but it's very expensive, 25,000 rupees. Boy, I want that. Or if I had a car, then I would be so nicely situated. And then, oh, sochati. I had a lot of money, but I wasted it drinking and girlfriends. Now I have nothing. This sochati is not like that. He's not lamenting that I had something and I lost it. It's not like that. This is, oh, how fallen I am. Or how fallen I had become. So this is the actual position of a devotee. He feels himself very, very fallen. If you go out on the street, and especially the better class of people or richer class, excuse me, sir, do you feel fallen? What will they say? No, I'm on top of the world. I have my Mercedes car. I have my 15 credit debit cards. Who feels fallen? Even if you ask the poor, poor person in the street, beggar, do you feel fallen? No. It is only a devotee in the purified position, he can understand. Just like if you ask a hog in the village eating stool, is your position really horrible or is it nice? Well, it's quite okay. Because his consciousness is not developed, he's thinking, eating the stool, what problem? But when you have the developed consciousness of a human being and you look at the hog, oh my God, how could life be so abominable? So similarly, although human consciousness is little developed from the hog, without Krishna consciousness it is still on the bodily platform, and therefore people are engaging in so many nasty activities. But when your consciousness is purified by engagement in Krishna consciousness, you can look down and see, oh my God, this is a horrible, this is abominable. What are they doing? Or what was I doing? So, the natural position, as one advances more and more in Krishna consciousness, then to a greater and greater degree he sees, oh my God, how fallen I am. What a miserable condition I am in. Oh Krishna, please lift me up and place me as a servant at your lotus feet. So that is his lamentation. All right, are there any questions or comments? Yes?
Recently I heard that there's a Puranic account that Ajamila in his previous life was involved with this woman who became the prostitute. And I can tell you the details very quickly, but I want you to confirm whether you've read this.
Where did you hear that?
I heard it in England, but I can't remember which devotee said it, and I don't think I heard a reference to a specific Purana. But in his previous life, Ajamil bathed in the river when the river was very cold. He became numb. When he came out, he fainted. And a girl saw him and she thought, I have to revive him. So she embraced him and transferred the heat from her body to his body. And he woke up and he said, what are you doing? I think you're like a prostitute. I curse you to be a prostitute. And she said, and I curse you to be attached to me in my next life.
Well, it could be. There are many Puranas, 18 major Puranas and many Upa Puranas. And I had read many of these and summarized them. And I don't remember all of the stories. I'm sure I didn't read that one. But it could be somewhere. Because one thing that I noticed in many of the Puranas, there are many stories just like that explaining how somebody became that person according to their previous life and previous activities. So, even in the Bhagavatam, there is the story of Narada, Upabardhana, and how he... So, it could very well be, but I don't know that. Yes? Of course, nothing happens by chance. There's a reason for everything.
So, in this purport, Prabhupada is saying that marriage among devotees. In the purport, Prabhupada is saying that marriage within devotees.
Yes.
But within ISKCON community, what we I was in Mayapur, I overheard senior grihastha telling that the divorce rate in ISKCON is 5 times higher than outside. So we see, on the other hand, successful...
I was also thinking of that, but I didn't want to say that in the class. As far as I understood the question, it's a little hard for me to hear perfectly, but he's saying that in the purport, Prabhupada says that although in normal society marriage must be arranged according to the horoscope, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but for devotees, there's no need for this because devotees are transcendentally situated. So a devotee boy and a devotee girl, their marriage is very happy. Then he's saying, but somebody told him that amongst the older devotees, it is found that the divorce rate is 5 times higher than in the general society. How is this? So, it's 8:30, I'm supposed to top, and this is a complex question, it would take little time, but I thought of this myself many, many years ago, and I've considered it. I'll just, in a very concise way, give an answer. That, of course, we are all devotees. Everyone in ISKCON is a devotee. And a devotee, Vaishnava, is transcendentally situated. But still, in the later years, Prabhupada was very concerned about establishing Varnashram. And even there's a book, collection of all the Varnashram conversations. He talked much in Vrindavan and other places about Varnashram in morning walks and other conversations. So in one place, devotee is telling Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was saying even Varnashram should be established within the ISKCON temples. And devotees were thinking, how can we do this? Everyone is initiated as a Brahman. So Prabhupada said that Brahman initiation should not be given so easily. But in another place also, it is said, someone was saying, but we are all Vaishnavas. And then Prabhupada said, Vaishnava is not so easy. So, it is seen practically that there are many devotees. They may join ISKCON and live within the temple for a number of years. But then they may leave. So generally if they leave, they go from hero to zero. But the idea is that although we are all devotees, we are still in quite a neophyte stage. So therefore we still should consider, according to the swabhav, or according to the nature. Of course, Prabhupada was always preaching the sumum bonum, the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, not really concerned with preaching different lower levels of development, just wanted to engage everyone 100%. But of course, ideally, a pure devotee boy and a pure devotee girl, if they're married, then certainly there should be no problem. But the difficulty is there are still so many sochati, kangshati, and anartha, and so many things, and therefore, what more can I say? What do you think, Tattavid? Is that correct? Yes.
That was a perfect answer. And I'd like to emphasize that when you speak of senior devotees and you listen to their banter, you should bring your common sense to the fair, because generally when I hear, I'm a senior devotee, it just means I'm, over the age of 60. That's what senior devotee. I've seen so many, heard so many things. I mean, Prabhupada said, after I'm gone, they will say, Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that. So you always have to use your own intelligence to discriminate, no matter who's speaking, because it's only within yourself and your study of Prabhupada's books in context of all of his teachings that you can understand these questions. And I thought that Purna Prabhupada really presented it in a very diplomatic and nice way. But basically, there's an old saying in Latin, caveat emptor, buyer beware. So don't just buy what you hear, no matter who's speaking or what seat they're sitting on. It's your plane that you're flying, and you have to make your own discriminations based on your own studies. Very important aspect of advancing Krishna consciousness, because obviously, we call a devotee, a person a devotee, we already have studied that there's Kanishta, there's Madhya, there's Adhik, there's so many levels of being a devotee. So Prabhupada even told us, Americans, and I'm quoting him, he said, you are 1% Krishna consciousness and going up. The Indians are 99% Krishna consciousness and going down. And so, and even a great quote that Vyasaki always uses, that comes from him, he says, well, to be Krishna conscious, first you have to be conscious. So there's many aspects of understanding the philosophy, and just overhearing a conversation, there's many instances, even within the times that we were with Prabhupada on the planet, that some devotee would overhear something in a morning walk, and then he would come to the wrong conclusion, and tragic results came about from that. So it's a really strong point, and I thank you for presenting it so, and with such elucidation.
Yeah, I also would just like to confirm and further explain a little what he has said, which is very, very good point and very true. Of course, I think fortunately most of you don't have regular use of the internet, but if you look at the internet, you'll see there are many older devotees who are engaged in such horrible controversies and speaking so badly in different ways and taking opposite views. Better just listen to the oldest devotee or most senior devotee, Srila Prabhupada. What he says is 100% worthy of considering. And what others say, you should only consider in the light or in relation to how Srila Prabhupada has explained it. It's not that everyone is an authority. There's a lot of pollution in the atmosphere, even by senior people. Hare Krishna.